Let's begin.
This is the Boss.
I'm the Boss.
And the Gloss.
My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
Welcome back, everybody. We're enjoying a Monday night game. Certainly the Patriots are enjoying it. They're up 24-0.
If you're in New York, you're not enjoying this Monday night game.
No, Patriots seem well on their way to putting the Jets back in their place. All is right in New England again. That AFC East, dominant Patriots, Bills upstarts, and then just everybody else.
Wow. Wow. Rough time for the Jets, that's for sure.
All right. We're about to get a chance to talk to Steve Garvey.
I cannot wait to talk.
I can remember a Sports Illustrated cover picture where he was out there catching the ball in the outfield, and it said, Steve Garvey, proud to be a hero. He was a legend for those Dodgers teams.
He was a legend, and I'm sure they would have loved to have had him on their team this year.
Well, they needed him in the postseason, didn't they? They had an incredible regular season, disappointing postseason. We need to ask him what went wrong with the Dodgers, and what can they do? I mean, what can they do this offseason to really right the ship so they aren't disappointed yet again?
And I'd love to ask him, too. You know, what do you click over? Do you have to click over in the postseason? Is it different than the regular season? What do you have to do? Because clearly the Dodgers have no issues with the regular season, 106 wins. But man, that was just, I still am stunned over the first round exit.
Well, there are players, Clayton Kershaw,
the Nats.
Of course.
Let's give it to the Nats. They're going to the World Series. So
no, I mean, the Nats are a
formidable opponent.
A very legitimate opponent, and their starting rotation is exceptional. But when you look at the Dodgers, there are players, and certain Kershaw is the big one, who have been exceptional in the regular season and always disappointed in the postseason. But I might point the finger at the manager as well. I'm not sure that Dave Roberts has had good postseasons. And some of that is second-guessing. You can see it in hindsight. But when you look back at this series, I think the moves that he made did not fare well. We can ask Steve Garvey about how he feels about Dave Roberts.
No, I agree. Obviously, the moves did not fare well, because they're at home sitting on a couch.
I also want to ask Garvey just his outlook on this series, what he'll be looking for, what he thinks of these big three starting pitchers on both teams.
Old school style baseball, starting pitching versus starting pitching. Imagine that.
Indeed. It will be Steve Garvey when we return. You're listening to the Boston Gloss, SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, joining us now on the Progressive Insurance guest line is Steve Garvey, 10-time All-Star. He won a ring with the 1981 Dodgers. Steve, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, great to have you. And first, I'd love to ask you about what you're doing with your new CBD sports cream.
Oh, gosh. You know, at the end of last year, two dear friends of mine who are Forbes 30 top marketing men and another great entrepreneur started talking about what can we do that would make an impact in this consumer goods generation in this country. And we came up with the concept of consumer goods products with CBD infusion. And with the idea of in this wild, wild west of CBD and THC, let's focus on CBD, pure CBD, and come up with products that are really going to be an asset and make a difference in people's lives. I said this in the beginning. Let's make sure that we test all the varieties of products. And then let's come up with the one that actually, you know, former athletes try for a period of time. And I use the term, you know, getting you back in the game. And that's what Level Select does.
Fantastic. We're talking to Steve Garvey, former major leaguer with the Dodgers and the Padres. And his product is Level Select. It's now available at selectmylevel.com. Selectmylevel.com. Well, Steve, I'd love to talk a little baseball with you.
Sure.
It is amazing. Just looking back before we get to the series ahead, the Dodgers, so disappointing after a great regular season yet again. Stunning not to see them in this World Series. What do they do next? How do they right the ship and make next year a better year?
Well, you know, remember when it used to be the $64,000 question? Now it's the billion-dollar question in this new economics of sport. They take great regular seasons, and they get to the playoffs. And 2 years ago, of course, it was Houston, Game 7, that they lost. Last year, Game 5 in the World Series to Boston. This year, they didn't get out of the NLDS. And this is an organization that started with Guggenheim's purchase about 6 years ago, and their investment in the minor league system, their international program, being able to increase their payroll to acquire new free agents. And it's really paid off, except for the ultimate prize, and that's a world championship. And there's not a lot you can do, you know, because this, if you look at the regular season, I call it the tale of two seasons, the regular season, 106 games this year. You know, most ever by an L.A. Dodger team. Won arguably six out of the last seven, so they're in good shape rolling into the playoffs. But I said on the radio before game one, there's two teams that have a date with destiny. I'm not so sure which one is going to ultimately be the winner of this first round. I was really concerned that, you know, the Nationals have never gotten to won a series. Were they due, or are the Dodgers really destined to be a world champion? It turned out to be the Nationals. And they, you know, they seem to manufacture more runs better than the Dodgers over that five-game series. But in the end, I think when Strasburg really bowed his neck in the third inning after being down 3-0 and shut the Dodgers down for the next five innings, that turned the tide, and it turned out to be destiny for the Nationals. And then they go and they sweep the Cardinals, and now they're up against arguably a very, very good team in Houston. Their odds are against them, obviously, but who says they can't make this a trilogy and be world champions?
Steve, we're talking with Steve Garvey, 10-time All-Star, first baseman, former first baseman for the LA Dodgers. One more Dodger question before we move on to the World Series. So,
sure.
The Dodger organization, as you know, so much money, and you've won with this organization in 1981. They have a brilliant general manager in Andrew Friedman. Talent coming out their ears on the pitching staff as well as position players, probably have the NL MVP in Cody Bellinger.
Sure.
Can Dave Roberts keep his job? Because I know this meltdown of biblical proportions where they didn't even get out of the first round, a lot of people blaming Roberts for his decision to put in Kershaw late in the game and then bring him back and what ultimately ended up sealing the Dodgers' fate. Can he keep his job, and should Roberts keep his job?
Well, he just signed an extension. He's got that going for him. But, you know, when you're a hedge fund like Guggenheim, money doesn't really matter at that level that much. You know, a $250-60 billion fund. their purchase of the Dodgers for $2.15 is just a really flip on that. But the question is, what happens in that second season? I mean, take money for granted. Do you? And this is my feeling. We need manufacturers. You know, it's not as important during the regular season because you have plenty of power and you have really good pitching. But when it comes to these short series, you need to be able to manufacture runs. Say, game five in the NLDS, you're up by three runs. Okay, you got to pick up a run in the fourth, maybe two in the sixth. So now you're five or six runs ahead. So a grand slam doesn't tie you or put you away. And I think what happens sometimes is everybody gets too comfortable and maybe a little overconfident with the home run. So although I saw it somewhat more this year with a new hitting coach, I think the team that ultimately wins in the World Series, Houston in 17 and the Red Sox in 18, were able to hit the ball the other way, manufacture runs, maybe drop a bunt down, so that they could keep picking up runs so that one swing can't beat you.
There you go. Everyone needs to hear that, that's for sure. So Steve is a former player and quite a successful one. You know, four-time Gold Glove, NL MVP, two-time NLCS MVP. My goodness. Did you do anything differently?
Keep going. You said
I only got half of it. I mean, seriously, I don't think we have enough time on the air to get through all of it.
She has a 10-page memorandum in front of her.
I know.
Yeah, Garvey part two tomorrow.
Yes, exactly. Garvey 2.0 to be continued.
I'm sorry for interrupting you.
No, not at all, because it should be celebrated. I mean, you had quite a storied career, and it really, you
very
know,
blessed.
It's very blessed, and you blessed all of your fans as well. But did you do anything differently to prepare yourself for the playoff season than you did during the regular season? And what were those emotions like?
Well, you know, I'm such an old school guy, and I played football at Michigan State, so I had some of that football mentality of going out every day and grinding. And I do a lot of motivational speaking now, and I talk about finding out how good you can be, whether it's as a human being, as a mother, father, husband, whatever it is, and as a professional, to keep pushing yourself, keep resetting your goals. If my first goal was to bat 300, when I did that, I wanted to bat 310. When I did that, I wanted to bat 320. When I hit 20 home runs, I wanted 25. And you got to keep pushing yourself. Now, once I set my goal as 300 average, 200 hits, 100 RBIs, and 20 home runs. And those are pretty lofty goals, and to play every day. So for 7.5 years, I got the everyday part down.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Which was 1,207 games and the National League consecutive game record, fourth all time. But then when I got to, you know, what I always say, when the lights were turned up, played in 10 All-Star games and won all 10 and won MVPs there. Played in just one NLDS, which was the first one ever in 81, and we won that. I played in 5 NLCSs, and we won all those because I took them personally. I didn't take anything for granted. We always talk to the guys about doing little things, and that's why we were consistently good from 73 to 83, is we didn't take anything for granted. And of course, back then too, we had basically the same 7 guys that took the field. It was an era up until free agency at the end of the 70s that you could do that and take our infield, for instance, say Russell Lopes and myself, 8.5 years together. And you can give Al Campanis a lot of credit for signing us and keeping us together up through 81. But that continuity of guys playing together consistently, as opposed to sabermetrics of now, where there's a tendency to take these hybrid players, and very good athletes, by the way, now, in and out, guys at 4 or 5 different positions, and matching them up against this type of pitching and that type of pitching. But ultimately, if you look at it on a personal basis, is the situation, the game dictate what you do. And I think the mentality is nowadays the 3-run homer, hit the ball at the ballpark. The friction on the ball is less than ever. I think that's the answer to that story right there. So I think the teams that do all the little things, that play pitch and catch well, that move the runners along, so be it if they hit the home run. But at the end of the day, the world champion, you're going to look at that world champion and say, you know, they had about 7 guys out there, and they did the little things because the pitching was so great between 2 teams that you have to take advantage. And it epitomizes, you know, what a team sport is all about when you do those things and ultimately, you know, climb the mountain and win the world championship.
We're talking to former Dodger Steve Garvey. So I'd love to ask you about this series, the Astros and the Nationals, the big three pitchers on both sides. If you were to pick a big three for your team, which would you take, the Astros or the Nationals?
Well, you know, I actually think the Nationals have a big three and plus and a half, you know, with Sanchez and Corbin, and which might make the difference. You know, there's a tendency now in the postseason when it starts to get crunch time, to take that starter and get an inning out of him, that quality starter. So I think it's going to go 6-7 games, and I think ultimately it will go to the setup men, you know, after these quality starters come out in, what, 6th, 7th inning now. The setup men will really decide the series. Who can step up and be able to bridge that gap to the starters? And, you know, even starters nowadays, you know, you take a look at what happened in Chapman the other night. So be it that Altuve has probably the smallest strike zone in the game, and he was thinking, you know, he's going to catch up with my fastball, and I'll try to trick him with a slider, and all of a sudden 87 miles an hour hangs over the plate, and Altuve, you know, hits it out. So it's going to take that bridge to the closers, and the closers do their job. But I don't see any blowouts in this World Series. I see a lot of very good baseball, and ultimately it'll probably be decided on a defensive play and not an offensive play. So
that's
I'm
the...
on a limb. I'm on a limb now.
You're on a limb. That's all right.
That way more times than that. Yeah.
Well, Steve Garvey, thanks for joining us. Steve has his CBD sports cream. It'll improve your performance, shorten your recovery time, and really help you live a highly active lifestyle. You can get Level Select, his CBD cream, available online at selectmylevel.com. Steve, thanks so much for joining us on SB Nation Radio.
Pleasure to be with you. Let's do it again soon.
You got it. Thanks, Steve.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
One out of every four batteries is going to fail this winter. Get yours tested for free during Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly has the Superstart battery for you. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
All righty.
Fire it up. You're ready
Sounds
for that.
Good to me.
Let's talk a little college football.
It's getting fun.
Well, now we're really getting down to where you can see some definition.
We've got conference play. They're beating each other up.
Conference play will really separate the men from the boys. Let's go to the SEC for a minute. Alabama.
Amazing that you would start with the SEC.
Well, they are the men.
They are the juggernauts.
I mean, right now they've got, it depends on whose ranking you consider, but Alabama and LSU look like juggernauts in the SEC. I mean, Alabama really hasn't played anybody yet.
No, still waiting.
LSU will. They're going to play in a few weeks.
They're going to play each other
yeah.
in a few weeks. Yeah.
Now, Tua presumably will be healthy. This was a setback for Alabama. Tua
wow.
with a high ankle sprain.
And he had surgery yesterday morning.
I don't always hear surgery and high ankle sprain together.
Well, this is a new procedure. It's called something like the twisted rope or the tightrope or something. He had the exact same surgery on the opposite ankle last year. Do you remember last year?
I remember.
At the end of the
yes.
season? So some surgeon, I cannot remember who it is, but he has come up with this kind of making this rope type ligament for the ankle. He's done the same thing to Tua's other ankle. I mean, Sunday morning he had surgery. So, you know, they basically have two bye weeks in a row because Arkansas is next week.
You count that as a bye? Come on, woman.
I'm sorry, Hogs, but that's a bye week.
Okay.
And then the following week they do have a bye week.
Right.
And, you know, then
good time to have a cupcake game and a bye on the schedule.
So then they think he's going to be back to normal. I think it's pretty shocking. I think it's fascinating that his ankle's giving him so much trouble. So we'll see. But he's been unstoppable. Let's see how he can come back from the same injury.
Well, by everybody's estimates, he will be back for that LSU game. And they're going to need him for LSU. Oh. LSU is a force. Joe Burrow has impressed me week in and week out. He didn't have a bad game.
No, he does not. And, you know, there is not one Division I program that recruited him. I mean, what?
It is amazing to think that. And he's not just a product of the system. He is throwing the ball very well. He's making all the passes you would want. Yes, that LSU offense
leader.
Is a better offense than they've ever had schematically. But he is exceptional. And I tell you, I think LSU is going to give Alabama a heck of a showdown.
Oh, I think they do. And I even have them ahead of Alabama in the poll. If I was ranking them, I would have LSU at number one. I mean, Burrow this weekend alone against Mississippi State, 36-13 win, 327 yards, four touchdowns. They had 415 yards of total offense, the LSU Tigers. And then he also set the single season passing record at 29 touchdowns. He is seven games in, and he broke the LSU record.
Well, he will be playing in perhaps the best game of this weekend. It will be LSU versus Auburn. And that's
True
going to be a great matchup.
Yeah, it is.
You're talking about the number two team by most people's rankings versus about the number 9 team in Auburn. Auburn with only one loss.
And that was to Florida in the Swamp.
In Florida in the Swamp with Carla Dawson.
I was there.
Watching the game.
Wow.
Under your watch it took place.
I know. Bo Nix unraveled a bit in that Swamp.
So Ooh. Based on what you've seen thus far, do you like LSU or Auburn in that one?
I love LSU.
I do too.
I am all about LSU right now. I haven't seen anything that makes me think otherwise. And I really credit Ed Ogeron. He brought in Joe Brady. Joe Brady has made this offense just exciting, and Joe Burrow has been coached beautifully into it, and he is executing perfectly.
So another team, everybody has suddenly gotten very high on their
all the bandwagon.
Well, they've jumped on the bandwagon of Ohio State. I mean, the Buckeyes are in many people's polls the top team, if not certainly a top three team, and they do seem to be poised for a great run here in the Big Ten.
Well, you know, they had a 52-3 beatdown of Northwestern on Friday night. And, you know, Justin Fields, give him credit, transfer from Georgia.
Yep.
He's doing a number. I mean, Ryan Day, who took over for Urban Meyer, they have not only skipped a beat, but honestly, I think that offense, they seem like the most complete team right now in college football, I think. And he's really, they haven't missed a step. They, in fact, I think, look better without Urban Meyer in there. But next week, they're going to have a little bit of a test, at least a more physical test, against a Wisconsin team that had notably the most devastating loss of the weekend.
Yeah, they came in, what, 30-point favorites in that series. How can that be? That just doesn't happen. You have a 30-point favorite position, and you lose the game.
You lose. I mean, 24-23. Unbelievable. But you know what? Here's what I would say. I mean, Illinois is Illinois, but they are the most complete offense that the Badgers have faced all season. I mean, they've blanked four opponents so far.
Well, remember, we've been calling them the Goose Egg Gang because nobody could put any points on them.
Right.
But they let Illinois get the best of them.
Well, Illinois scored almost as many points as the combined points of all Wisconsin's previous opponents. So Illini put up 24. All six of Wisconsin's previous opponents totaled 29. I think it's fascinating. And it wasn't like, oh, this is a one-off for Illinois. They have a decent offense. And what Wisconsin has been able to do against these lesser offenses is make mistakes. And Illinois exposed them. I mean, they fumbled two times inside the Illinois 40. They punted on a 4th-and-3. Why wouldn't you hand off to Jonathan Taylor, your Heisman frontrunner? Late in the game, they passed on a 3rd-and-5, resulted in an interception. Wisconsin has never had to play from behind. Mm. This was a real test, and they've dropped 7 spots from number 6 to number 13. They got a lot of work to do with facing the Buckeyes in a week.
Well, they'll face the Buckeyes. Interestingly, a team in the Big Ten that sort of snuck up on me, Penn State, ranked number 6 overall. How did that happen? They're pretty sneaky.
Well, it was a whiteout at Penn State, and that's tough.
Love the whiteout.
I love the whiteout.
Yeah.
I think it's such a cool tradition. And that game was something. Michigan is just, you can't, they're so inconsistent. They are so inconsistent. I don't know what to say, but I don't think Harbaugh's job is in danger. I think they love him at Michigan, even though he has not been able to beat Ohio State ever, their biggest rival. And, you know, they've lost several games this year. They lost to Wisconsin. They lost to Penn State. They're reeling in my book, but I think Harbaugh keeps his job. What do you think?
I guess they give him another year. I mean, you have to find a good replacement too, and good college coaches don't grow on trees. Michigan, a storied program, but who are you going to go get at this point? Urban Meyer, he's already declared that he's going to go to the Cowboys. I don't know if you saw his quote this week.
Oh, gosh.
He was asked, if the job became available, would he want it? He said, absolutely. So Urban Meyer is headed to the Dallas Cowboys.
I told you earlier.
I know.
I'm feeling that Jerry's up to something.
Well, Jerry may be up to something, but Urban Meyer, remember, he had to leave his job in college because of stress. Now he's going to go to the pros. I mean, that stress level is
no
even higher.
In Dallas, no one even notices there.
Yeah, right.
But so, for Michigan, you know, they had a close loss to Penn State, 28-21.
Yep.
They are looking forward to Notre Dame next week.
Yep.
Eek. So it doesn't get any easier for Michigan. Something's going to have to change there.
Looking at the Big 12, Sooners are taking care of business. Mm. Really looking good. But Baylor is coming out of nowhere.
7-0, but their test is coming in November when they have back-to-back games against OU and Texas. However, if you're a Longhorn fan, you are praying to the football gods that they squeaked by Kansas this weekend.
All right, when we return, we'll look at what sports luminaries have said, and we'll offer our reactions on a feature called What Does the Boss Say? Next up on SB Nation Radio.
Ducks and quack, and fish go blub, and the seal goes ow, ow, ow. But there's one sound that no one knows. What does the fox say?
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. Monday Night Football now with just 30 seconds remaining in the half. Patriots on the move to add some more points to their big lead already. Patriots 24, Jets 0.
Yeah, there needs to be a little adjustment by Adam Gase at halftime, wouldn't you think?
I'd say a lot of adjustments, but it's going to take more than just a halftime adjustment.
Well, let's hear what the boss says.
All right. The boss has lots of views about what we're about to hear. I know that you do as well. Let's listen to what some sports luminaries.
But it's not what the gloss says. I want to hear what the
boss, I know, but everybody really wants to know what the gloss thinks. I think so, maybe. All right, number one. Ahead of the Sunday Night Football matchup, head coach of the Eagles, Doug Peterson, guaranteed an Eagles win. Of course, that was not the result. The Cowboys won big. And asked after the game, Jason Garrett said that the statement of Peterson, that Peterson's guarantee did not motivate the Cowboys.
Jason, did Coach Peterson's guarantee of a victory earlier last week have anything to do with the emotion this team came out with tonight?
I don't think it had anything to do with it. We focus on us. We focus on each day of preparation and the task at hand. Our guys did a great job preparing for this ball game and did a really good job playing for 60 minutes in all three phases.
You know, one thing I'd say about Jason Garrett is his answers are utterly predictable. He is a very bland interviewee. There's nothing there. I have to give Doug Peterson some credit. At least he said something original. Yeah, we're going to go down there and win that game. There was some fire to it.
Well, with their biggest division rival, but I would say that DeMarcus Lawrence does not feel the same way as his head coach.
Oh, boy, no. In fact, yes, Lawrence countered before the game. He said, look, who is this guy Peterson? He's not going to be on the field. If he really wants to influence the outcome, he's got to get down on the field. Lawrence was not happy about it, and Lawrence got a little revenge. He got the strip sack early in the game against Wentz, and really the heart of that game was the two turnovers early. Cowboys took advantage of the miscues, and they got their lead, and they were able to play downhill, run the ball with Elliott, chew up the clock, and of course, Wentz was playing on his heels. So yes, I think DeMarcus Lawrence may have a different point of view. Fairly noted.
I mean, in the Eagles, Carson Wentz, 7 turnovers in the last 2 weeks. Got to fix that.
So cornerback Marcus Peters was traded from the Rams to the Ravens this week. And in his first game with the Ravens, he had an impressive debut. After the game, he gave some solid life advice, explaining how happy he is to contribute.
I try to just live life as it comes, man. Try not to complain and just work hard and just keep moving forward. You know, I'm not here to complain. Like I said, I'm just here to do my job, and that's just be an excellent teammate and be the best I can be.
So, a great debut for Marcus Peters. He got the pick six. I mean, you don't start a game better than that if you're a cornerback.
And to top that off, it was Russell Wilson's first interception of the season.
Yeah, I mean, Wilson's been extraordinary. He's been on everyone's list as an MVP candidate. Last night or yesterday was not a great game for the Seahawks or Russell Wilson. Give the Ravens some credit, though. But a nice start for Marcus Peters, who was somewhat cast out.
I was just going to say, he didn't hold any grudges about, I mean, when someone trades you, you're not good enough for them to stick around in their mind.
Yeah, it was a 1-2 punch of the Rams. Right. They brought in Jalen Ramsey, shipped out Marcus Peters.
Yeah.
Some interesting cornerback movement, though, here, right? As we get to, about a week before the trade deadline, where, of course, the Texans have picked up Gerrion Conley, and then, of course, Ramsey to the Jaguars, and there Peters goes to the Ravens. And there are rumors that Patrick Peterson may well be on the block as well.
That's right. It's an important position, getting more important with these dual-threat quarterbacks in such a big passing game.
All right, the Chicago Bears suffered a crushing defeat to the Saints yesterday, and their head coach Matt Nagy was asked, why did he abandon the run? The Bears stopped calling running plays. And the coach had no real explanation. Let's hear what he had to say.
Came in this season with an offensive line that you really like, backs that you really like.
Yeah.
some sense of why it's working and running?
I would love to. I would. I mean, I'm not. I wish. I would love to. I. You're right, but I don't know what to tell you. We just got to stay positive, and we got to stick together. I will. Our offensive linemen care. Coach Harry Hiestand cares. You know, none of this is because guys don't care. Our quarterback cares. Our players care.
So what does that tell you? It's just so hard to discern what he's saying there. He didn't use the run, and he's not able to tell us why he abandoned the run.
He's saying, by not saying what he should be saying, Mitchell Trubisky is not our guy.
Well, that's the heart of the Bears offense, yes. But that certainly might lead you to call more run plays.
Well, it was... especially when you've got a Mitchell Trubisky that's coming back after several weeks of injury.
Yep.
And 90% of the plays are throwing plays. I mean, it's a very confusing situation. And you've got David Montgomery, who has been productive. I mean, he wasn't yesterday. But you're really making that defense get overworked. I mean...
Well, their defense was overworked, and their defense really showed some holes yesterday. They gave up a lot of yards to the Saints.
Exhausted. I mean... Chicago did not score an offensive touchdown until 2 minutes and 30 seconds left in the game.
Yeah.
Basically garbage time. And this was against a Saints team with no Drew Brees, no Alvin Kamara, no Jared Cook.
It's amazing what they've been able to do. Sean Payton just deserves a ton of credit. He's on my short list for Coach of the Year thus far because, yes, you take those names off of anybody's offense and it just doesn't make sense that they can keep winning. But they do.
They do. Yeah. Credit Sean Payton. You're right.
All right. One team that is not winning.
Oh, man.
Are the Chargers. The LA Chargers.
Ugly.
And head coach Anthony Lynn was not happy. Chargers were so close. They were 1 yard away from winning, but they did not come home with the W. Let's listen to head coach Anthony Lynn.
If you don't get 1 yard, you don't deserve to win the damn game. And that's just the way it is. I mean, we had 1 yard to win this game. And we let it slip out of our hands. I mean, I'm lost for words right now.
Well, Anthony, I can say that you got a lot of losses. You lost a yard. You lost the football. You lost the game. It is, and you can't fill a soccer stadium with your own fans.
Now, I fear the Charter season has just melted down. They're 2-5. They're not going to get back in the hunt. Last week, you saw Rivers after the game grabbing the jersey of a cornerback and yelling at him.
The back of the neck.
Yes, I just think they're unraveling. And then after all the drama with Melvin Gordon, he was holding out. Should they pay him? Would they pay him?
Wants more touches.
That's right. And he came. He got the touch, and he fumbled the ball at the one after they had seemingly scored twice, according to the ruling on the field. I think when you look at those two instant replays, though, neither of those two plays were touchdowns. I think that they got the call right, and it wasn't just delaying the inevitable. It actually turned into changing the game because Gordon fumbled from the one.
They've lost 5 of their last 6. And you know what's sad? Phillip Rivers, I don't know how much longer he's going to keep playing, but he's just going to end up having to retire in oblivion if he stays with the Chargers. This is a moribund franchise right now that needs some serious help.
It would seem he is... going off into a quiet sunset.
Right.
It would be intriguing.
It's not real quiet, though.
Well, look, it'd be intriguing if the Chargers might set him free and give him a chance at a new lease in life. Go sign with a team like the Broncos or somebody who
actually needs a quarterback.
Yeah, they have some of the other pieces around them. And look, the Broncos have receivers. They don't have a good offensive line, but their defense is good. And if you brought in a Rivers and you brought him an offensive line, the Broncos could be interesting. Right now, the Chargers team is going nowhere.
Well, the Broncos get a new quarterback or 2 or 3 every year.
Well, I know they're due, so why not him?
Why not?
I mean, the other one that's been rumored is Cam Newton. Of course, if the Panthers were to commit to Kyle Allen, then does Cam Newton pop out as a veteran quarterback who would be available to a team?
There's something to think about.
All right, let's go to baseball, the ALCS. There was a big hero in Houston. He is now the legend of all, Jose Altuve, Saturday with his walk-off home run.
Gosh, it was a thing of beauty.
And he is a thing of beauty. You just listen to him, and everything he says is just right. Let's listen to what he had to say about his team after the big win.
Well, let me tell you this. We won the game not because I hit a homer. Julie hit a three-run homer. Michael Bradley made a really good play over there. Springer just walked and put some pressure on them to get some momentum going. We are working as a team. We don't rely on one player, like I said before.
This, my friends, is how you get a winning clubhouse. With an attitude like that, this is the MVP of the American League a few years ago, several-time batting champion, superstar, and he is crediting all the fantastic plays in front of him. And he's right about all of that. I mean, he just happened to be the last man up. But, I mean, what a team player, what a gamer, class personified. And who was he looking for when the game ended? His little girl, who's two or three, and his wife. That's what he wanted to see. I mean, this guy, he took abuse in New York with F. Altuve every time he came up to bat.
Amazing.
And you know what? I love that he just, with that great big smile, he knew exactly what he could do against Aroldis Chapman. He knew, I've got a small strike zone. He's been doing his fastballs up. He's going to try and overcompensate with me being shorter, and I'm going to let him have it.
Well, I think maybe not anymore, but he snuck up on people, right?
Sure.
Because he's not a big fixture of a man. The thing about him is that he has all the power of the big guys, yet he does have the small strike zone of Jose Altuve.
It's tough for pitchers.
And it's tough for pitchers. They have to pitch into a certain spot, and boy, he makes them pay.
And credit not only his stature, but he is smart, and he studies these pitchers, and he knows. He knows what's coming. And even if you know, or you can assume what's coming, you still have to be able to hit it. Give him the credit. That was beautiful, and it was an all-team game. He's right. Yuli, Michael Brantley, Josh Reddick, George Springer all made huge contributions, including Alex Bregman as well. Big games by everybody. That's how you get to the series.
Okay, also from the post-game celebrations, Alex Bregman explained how Houston has become a baseball town.
Our fans have been there all year long supporting us. I think in 2017, when Hurricane Harvey hit, I think this city kind of became a baseball town, and we're bringing the World Series back to Houston, and the World Series comes through here. And I like the sound of that, and I think it should be that way for years to come.
Well, you're a native Houstonian. How do you feel about that?
Houston, Texas has always been a football town. High school games Friday nights, mm-hmm. college games Saturday, and the pro team, whether it was the Oilers or the Texans, that was the big story. And the Astros have always played second fiddle to football in this town. But as he noted, the Astros have won a World Series now here in the recent time. They've been dominant for a number of years now. And when they won the World Series, they won it right after Harvey, when a city that was
in the middle of it, even.
Yes, it was just devastated, got something that really lifted them up. In the midst of all the drama of the flood, there was this big celebration and a grand parade. And yes, I think that was a turning point for baseball in this city. And the sustained excellence of that team has certainly positioned the Astros in the hearts of all of Houston.
Very true, because it was a very, very difficult time for our city. And the Astros, in the midst of a postseason push, were doing incredible relief efforts and doing things for the city. It was not forgotten on them. And I think the city appreciates it. And wow, they gave us a World Series in return. Pretty nice.
All right. When we come back, we're going to take a look at what we've learned from my partner here, The Gloss. We're going to find out what we've learned from Carla Dawson. Next up on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and The Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Patriots dominating the Jets in Monday Night Football 24-0.
I just saw Tom Brady on the sidelines.
Yes.
It looks like he's like at the grocery store. He doesn't even have a bead of sweat on him.
Well, it's not been a tough night.
This does not look too difficult for him.
All right, this is the period where I get to go through what I've learned from you over the last couple of hours. Let me run down these quickly. I've learned a lot. First of all, you think the Patriots are going to go trade for a receiver before the trading deadline?
They have to.
Yeah, they need to. And they will.
Because the rest of their schedule, they are going to actually be playing teams that have winning records. Some of them.
You say watch out for LSU in the matchup against Alabama in 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Tigers are coming.
You think that Frank Reich is showing to be a very good coach.
I think he is the unsung hero. He was in Philadelphia. We're now seeing it and is now doing it for Indianapolis.
In the realm of baseball, you think, don't give up on Yordan Alvarez. He's had a tough postseason.
Yeah, one of 22 with 12 strikeouts.
Mm.
But, you know, I think we give him a chance here in the World Series. Maybe he steps up.
You question and wonder, Carson Wentz, he's probably overrated.
In my opinion, he is overrated and overpaid.
Altuve is an extraordinary team guy.
He is class personified. On the field, off the field, in the clubhouse. He is everything you want to build a franchise around.
You worry that Philip Rivers might just go quietly into the night as the quarterback of the Chargers. A great career wasted in no man's land.
I do, but I will correct you that with 8 kids, none of his nights are quiet. But yes, I do feel like he is stuck in oblivion.
He's been prolific at home.
I feel bad for him. Yeah, I'd love to see him with a winning franchise.
And lastly, you've noted this World Series is like old school October starting pitching.
I love it. Big three versus big three, slugfest. It's not going to, well, I don't know. We may see that it gets into the bullpen and fancy, but I like what it's looking like it's going to shape up to be. We'll see.
All right, I have good news for all of America.
He's coming.
He's coming.
He's coming.
Alex Gold is bounding down the hallway. You get to listen to the Gold Standard next. It will be Alex Gold. You have been listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Alex Gold next.